new social media challenges pop up all the time. Some for enjoyment, some for a good cause, others are just plain dangerous. What if you tried a new challenge? One that could transform your life, community, and the world. What if you spent 40 days studying Jesus' words and applying his teachings to everyday life, all focused on five
things? Well, good morning.
Forgiving.
You can see the video that's on the screen. You can't hear it. But anyways, we are starting the Red Letter Challenge this week. I know many of you have already started reading through the books, and some of your small groups have already met. But we are going to be preaching our way through this as well, because this is an important thing that we're starting to try to do here. And really, as we live to become disciples of Jesus, as you know, that's a key theme of what we've been preaching about off and on over the last year and a half. And hopefully you've caught on by now that my whole idea is for each of us to become the best disciple that we can be in Jesus' name, right? Amen. That's what he calls us to. He calls us to be disciples. And not just be a disciple, but be a disciple who makes disciples. That's what we're called to do. And so as we talk about that today, this is really what this book is all about, is how do we live out this idea of being a disciple? And so I hope that as I go through this today, I won't die because my voice is not good. I'm fighting off a cold right now. So if I get into a coughing fit, please give me some grace, okay? But hopefully we'll get through this today. But we are focused on this because this is an important thing. And one of the key things is sometimes we tend to go through life and we actually miss the mark on what we're trying to accomplish. An example of that is I remember as a kid, this is a minor example, but as a kid, I used to love Oreo cookies, right? And when they came out with double stuff, that was the best. Okay? Because let's be honest, we like the stuff in the middle, right? Not the stuff on the outside. And I remember that one time I asked my mom to go get double stuff cookies for me, and she was great. My mom was terrific. She always would want to try to please me any way she can. And she went to the store, and she came back with these. Anybody remember Hydrox? Yeah. She came back with those, and they just are not Oreos, are they? They look the same, they seem like they're the right thing, but really when you taste them and you put them in your mouth, there's nothing but disappointment in them, right? Now, I don't even know if they're still around. Does anybody know? But I mean, really, I remember getting them and people would go, oh, they're just like Oreos. No, they're not. They just are not. See, I mean, sometimes as followers of Jesus, we miss the mark. And you know what? As a follower of Jesus, I don't want to settle for Hydrox. Okay? I want to have double stuff all day long. As a disciple of Jesus, I want to make sure that I'm hitting the mark and that I'm not some imitation, that I'm actually truly the disciple that Jesus calls me to be. I think all of you know what I'm talking about, right? There's probably examples in your life where you try to pull something out that's an imitation and it just never lives up to the bargain that it's supposed to be. See, way too often, I think our walk with God is that way. We settle for something that is second rate. For what God wants for us is so much greater, and his plans are so much more, but yet we don't strive for that. We settle for something that's second rate. As Christians, we are notorious for missing the mark or missing some of the things that God has actually placed right before us and right in front of us. If you think about all of the stories that are there throughout Scripture, the Israelites, they had a message that was there about the Messiah coming, and what did they miss? They missed the Messiah when he came in Jesus Christ. Peter, one of the 12 disciples, spent much time in God's presence, and he completely missed God's purpose while he was with him. The Galatians, if you read the book of Galatians, God's gift was there and it was given to them, but they missed God's grace. And I believe this extends to us today. Many times as followers of Jesus, we have good intentions, we have good ideas, but we completely miss the opportunity that he gives and has for us in this world. He gives us the opportunity to be his disciples and his workers in this world, and at some reason, for some way, we miss the mark and we completely miss what it means to be a disciple. See, Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. See, Jesus knew that it would be tough to follow him and to live up to what that standard is. There's work to be done, and then Jesus invites us all to be those workers. Joining Jesus on his mission, you remember that? That's the study we went through last time. So if we are his workers, the question is, how are we doing? How are we representing Jesus in the world here today? And my statement to you as a whole, as the Christian church as a whole, that we're miserably failing. Some of you would say, you know, Pastor, that's pretty harsh. And I would say, well, let's look at the facts and see. I mean, when I think of Jesus and when you think of Jesus, what are some of the first words that come to mind? Grace, love, blessing, kindness, joy. If you ask followers of Jesus what they think followers of Jesus should really get, well, you sort of get a mixed bag. Some people would say some negative things as well. But the real test, I believe, is what are those who we are trying to reach that don't know Jesus, what do they have to say about us? See, a few years ago, there was a book that was put out called Unchristian. It was written by David Kinnaman and Gabe Lyons. And they spent 3 years polling all of these young people and people who were unchurched throughout the world, especially those that are in America. They wanted to find out what they thought of the Christians that were in the world and what they thought of the Christian church. Just to give you a little insight, the title Unchristian is the description they gave to us as Christians. That when they looked at us, they saw us as unchristian. And they said that because what they see Jesus' followers doing is being judgmental, hypocritical, too political, old-fashioned, out of touch, insensitive, and boring. That's what they had to say. The fact is that we are broken. All of us are sinners. And many of those outside of a Christianity reject Jesus because they feel rejected by Christians. We know that we're broken. We know we're not perfect. But if we take a moment to be honest and reflect on how we are doing representing Jesus in the world, we come to the conclusion that we haven't really represented him well. I mean, if Jesus is known for grace, it's a free gift that you don't deserve. If we are known for judgment, which is getting what you deserve, then we've miserably failed. By definition, judgment and grace are opposites of each other. We've missed the mark. I mean, if Jesus is known for unity, the church tends to be more known for disunity. We've missed the mark. If Jesus is known for good works, we are known for hypocrisy. Well, we've missed the mark. See, the red letter challenge was sort of birthed out of this idea, the desire to represent Jesus the best that we can. To give the impression of what truly a Jesus' follower looks like. If we can give the right expression of who Jesus really is, I believe that people will fall in love with Jesus and fall in love with his church. Now, we wouldn't fall in love, we want to fall in love, wouldn't we, with love and kindness and forgiveness and grace and the mercy of God? I mean, who wouldn't want to be closer to all of that? I mean, we have to change the picture we are telling of Jesus. Somehow, even with good intentions, we've missed the mark, and we've missed it entirely. After all, what Jesus has done for me and what he's done for you, I'm not content in representing Jesus as the way that it's described and the way unchristian people see us. We are called to bring people closer to Jesus by how we live, and somehow people are getting the message that is totally wrong. They're rejecting Christianity as they look at us in the world. Now, I can't live without giving everything that I can possibly towards this idea of changing the image of Jesus in this world. Knowing the grace that he has won for me, knowing the grace that he has given to me, knowing how Jesus has changed my life, I tell you, I can't just go forward and say, this is okay, what's happening in the larger church in this world. I cannot just sit back and let this picture be shown of who Jesus is when it's not who he is. And we won't sit back either. I want us to attack this. We don't just want to change the story of Jesus, but we have to do that. See, churches could draw people in by offering therapeutic services that make them feel better, but not be better. And that's the goal of what we are here for. That's why we have CR and a lot of the things we have here, is it's not just we want to provide feel-good services for people. We want to actually change people as we go through life. Bill Hybels, who's a famous pastor, actually said this, and he understood this problem. And what he said is we want churches to actually make disciples, to grow people in faith, not to grow people in spectatorship. Not just to have people who sit in the pews and spectate, but to be people who actually go out and share the love of Jesus. But how do we do this? Because there's so much noise that is all around us that we could actually listen to and trust. How do we know what we actually should be shooting for, and how do we know where we should be going? As Christians, we can have the best intentions of the world, but how do we actually succeed in actually doing this? How can we make sure that we do more good than harm? How do we know if we're truly hitting the target and that we're not hitting the ideas of judgment and division and hypocrisy and racism, old, out of touch, and boring? So we need to aim at the target that Jesus sets out for us. That's what we need to do. We need to focus on the target that Jesus has given us. That all along we might have been focused at the wrong target, that now we are actually focusing on the right target. And that's where we sort of push away the noise and we focus on the words that Jesus actually says. The red words that are in your Bible. Those words that are there of what Jesus has sort of laid out for us. That is what we are meant to be focused on. That is where we find the truth of how we should behave. That is where we find the truth of what it means to be a disciple. And that's how we know we are aiming at the right things. I mean, if we, who are Jesus followers, actually takes the words of Jesus and puts them into practice, what do you think would truly happen? Suddenly, people in this world would see a different image of Jesus. Suddenly, the impact we would make in this community would be one that is bigger than anything we could ever imagine. If we truly took the words of Jesus and didn't just hear them, but actually put them into action, suddenly this whole thing would change, and the world would be different. And the image of Jesus in the world would be different as well. See, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27 says this, and I ask you to read this with me. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great clash. See, if you've read the Sermon on the Mount, which is what this is at the end of, right? You'll know that it's sort of rather difficult at times to understand what Jesus is saying. I mean, he uses humor and he induces countercultural ideas in that as well. But it's amazing, of all who were in attendance there, it still amazes us today. But the thing that struck me out of all this more than anything is that as he closes this sermon illustration, he uses this illustration almost like what we hear from the three pigs, right? What do you build your house on? What do you make sure that there's a firm foundation? How do you make sure that it's something that is going to be strong into the future? I mean, Luke chapter 11, verse 28 says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." And that's exactly what we're talking about here as we read these words from Matthew that he gives us, that truly Jesus wants us to hear his words, yes, but he wants us to put them into action. Even more simply, James chapter 1, verse 22 says this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." See, that's the big idea. That's the big idea of where we start this challenge. To change the picture we are giving of Jesus in this world, we're going to take Jesus' words, the ones that he has written in the red letters of our Bibles, and we're going to put them into practice, literally do them. I mean, that's the very unoriginal yet revolutionary idea that we are focused on. That we are truly going to take what Jesus says, believe that it's true what he wants us to do, and actually step forth into that. That as followers of Jesus, that's what he gives us to do. And the day zero of the start of this says this, by putting God's word literally into practice, you will find the life God has made for you. Hallelujah. See, so many of us, when we're looking to get closer to Jesus or to get the life that he wants for us, we tend to look all over the place at different places. But see, Jesus gives us the words that are there that tells us the life he wants us to live. Jesus has called us to be his disciples. We get the privilege of representing him in this world. We have the opportunity to represent him. And I believe that following after Jesus is not a burden, but the greatest single opportunity of our lives. Think about that just for a moment. And I believe the stakes are too high and too important for us to simply be going through the life, going through motions, and not knowing if we are effective or not. So the red letter challenge is what we're focused on, that this is a practical thing that we're doing over the next 40 days. It's a life-changing discipleship experience where we put Jesus' words into practice. And as we do so, we focus on five principles or targets that are the five key things that Jesus talks about throughout the Bible. The first is this, being. So many times Jesus talks about the importance of spending time and just being with him. Before he invites us to do things for him or through him or in his name, he invites us into a relationship. And our relationship with him will determine how effective we are at actually doing the things he asks us to do. So the first thing we have to do is focus on this idea of being with Jesus and putting our lives in his hands. The second is forgiving. Jesus is all about that grace, right? That's what he's all about. And so many of us struggle with receiving God's forgiveness, of forgiving ourselves and forgiving others. To truly represent Jesus in this world, we have a great understanding of God's grace in our lives, and we extend that grace to others. But it first begins with us forgiving ourselves. Amen. And truly understanding that God's grace and his love and forgiveness and all that he has done for us, that comes to us first. And it is from that love and grace that Jesus has given to us that we are then able to actually share it with others. The next target is this, that it's serving. After spending time and being with him and receiving his forgiveness, now we are so motivated after all that he has done for me that I want to serve him. I want to get out into the community, help those in need, and love my neighbors. This is actually living the love of Jesus, right? All of this is. Living the love of Jesus and serving him as one. Here's the key thing to understand, though. All of this begins from what? From being motivated to do these things based on what he has done for me. It is a result of what he has done. Amen. Not in any way earning salvation. Because that's already been done by Jesus. The next is giving. Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven more than anything else. A close second was money, actually, in the Bible. I found through the words of Jesus, it's impossible to be a stingy Christian. Jesus' followers are generous in all that they have and all that they do. And the final of these is going. That it's no coincidence that many of Jesus' last words in each of the Gospels, and even the last command he says in the book of Acts, centers on the fact that we as Jesus followers must not just be his hands and feet in the community, but also his mouthpiece. We are to go out there and tell the good news that this same Jesus that has died on the cross for my sins and forgiveness, what I have done is the same for you and everyone else. What he has done for me, he has done for everyone. So these five things that we're focused on over these 40 days are being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. These are the five targets of a disciple, the five principles that characterize what a Jesus follower is all about. At last, you might say, well, where did we get this? Well, the reason we say this is because this truly is what comes from Jesus' own mouth in the red letters that are in the Bible. As we begin this challenge, we have to remind ourselves of this. First, I encourage you to invite Jesus into your red letter challenge experience. Begin with inviting Jesus to come into your life, to help you as the Spirit works in your heart and your mind to take these words in and then to put them into action. To ask Jesus to remind you once again of what he has done for you as he lived a perfect life that we can't live. As he went to the cross and died there so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. As he rose again so that we could be assured of new life. And because of that, we are loved, we are forgiven, and we have a future that is secure. Based on that, Lord, we say, Lord, help me to live the life you wish me to live. Second, we invite others into this challenge as well. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's just some people that you know at work that you think might be interested in this. But please find somebody to invite into this with you. You're going to find that some things that Jesus asks you to do are easier than you ever thought they would be. But you're also going to find out that some of them are downright scary, and some of them are hard. But you have a God who promises to be with you. You need his strength, but I guarantee you that as you try to put Jesus' words into action, that he will be there to support you. But also, so will all of us. As we just got through with a sermon series before talking about what it's life together is all about, we are here to live life together as disciples so that all of us can help each other grow in discipleship and grow in this life that God calls us to together. That's why these small groups are so important that we've started, because that's where you can live life together, have a group of people around you on a weekly basis, at least for these 40 days, that can come alongside you and help you and encourage you and bring you along when you need that help. Or maybe just say, great job when you've done things that are good as well. It's important for us to build a family around us. I mean, that's what Jesus did, right? I mean, Jesus built a family around him to carry him through those things that he was doing in ministry and to carry him through the difficult times in his life, and we are called to do the same as well. See, to date, we have about 6 home groups or faith and fellowship groups that are taking place, and it's not too late to start another one. If you feel led to do so, the whole way to lead this is very simple and very straightforward. It's all laid out in a sheet of paper that you lead people through once a week. And it's not about doing it right. It's about gathering people together and growing together as you do this. If you haven't signed up for a group, they're still out on the table in the courtyard there. We encourage you to find one and join one. And if there's not one in your area, maybe that's God calling you to start one, because it's not too late to do so. And here what we're striving to do is to put Christ's words into practice, to put them and go forth in the name of Jesus, not just for us, but for the sake of what? The community that is all around us. See, we do this not because it's some command to do. We do this, remember, from what we said last week, as a result of what Jesus has done for us. And we do this for the sake of all of those that haven't heard Jesus and don't know him. Because we are called to be disciples that make disciples. And I pray that we would have more impact than we could ever imagine as each one of us live the words of Jesus and are disciples who make disciples. So let us pray. Dear Lord, as we begin this challenge, we thank you, Lord, for what you have said to us. And we thank you, Lord, that we can actually look to the Bible and see the words that you have spoken and truly know that those words are meant for us. Help us truly, Lord, not just to hear your words, but to truly, Lord, put them into action, to make an impact in this community. But Lord, that impact truly starts with us first. That truly, Lord, we would understand that the impression people have of the church in general is not good in this world. So Lord, we ask that you would help us to change that impression. Let us live the love of Jesus each and every day as we show people love, grace, and forgiveness so that they can truly see who Jesus is, what he stands for, and how much love he has for them. Lord, we say thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us to be your disciples. And we ask you, Lord, just to bless us and be with us each and every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we continue today, we continue with the Lord's Supper. And one of the blessings of today is that we can come together and say, yes, you know what? Things happen.